And so today we'll be looking at the protocol of kings, the ways of kings, or how kings are made, or the DNA of kings, whatever you would love to title the sermon. But this is what I feel led in my spirit to share. Amen. Yesterday or day before yesterday, or maybe yesterday, I think yesterday, when I was away trying to be alone with the Lord, I had a short vision, very quick vision, and I saw one of us. It was actually you I saw, Tayo. So I saw one of us, and I saw that person in a kingship demeanor or regalia. I don't know what word to use. And when that vision left, the Lord spoke to me and said, "I have called you to pastor kings." You know, and of course, I have an idea of this, but you know, God is the master in repetition. Amen. And we must also master hearing again. The Bible says, "Once has he spoken, and twice have I heard." Are we together here? I pray for you that today this teaching will change your life. Amen. And I pray that the Spirit of God will be mighty even as we look into the scriptures. Amen. All right. So, it is not a strange thing to say to you that you are a king. It is not a strange thing. And it's not a big deal to call you a king, especially to call you God's king. Are we together here? Now, when we look at the book of Revelations chapter 1 and start from verse 6 thereabout, or maybe we start from verse 1. Let's start from verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must surely take place. So you see here that the software of discernment is the person of Jesus. That the discernment is not separated from Jesus' personality. That you can't come outside Christ to want to discern. Are you with me? You see here that even though it is the things that will shortly come, it is first the revelation of Jesus Christ. So it is the revelation of his person that helps us to see the things that will shortly come. Are you together with me? You get my point now? And so the more of Jesus we know, the more things we will know. And that if you want to know things, know Jesus. Is that not simple discernment? Simple protocol for discernment. That you want to know things, who do you know? Know Jesus. The Bible talks about how blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Are we together here? That so the knowledge of God helps us to know things, and the purity of heart helps us to know God. Are my friends here?
Yes, sir.
That so you cannot be in the dark if you keep knowing Jesus. Are we here? But you see, if you want to know things without knowing Jesus, you'll be in the dark. And that's why it doesn't make sense seeking mediums to know the future. Yeah, you need to know God for you to know the future. If you don't know God, you can't even understand the future. And that's why, you see, what the tragedy and the disaster that is inside Satan's vision is that Satan's vision lacks the knowledge of Christ. And so no matter what he knows, he still doesn't know. And that's why the Bible talks about if he had known, he would not have crucified. Now, how many times was Jesus talking about his crucifixion? And yet he didn't know. And it was not a secret. Jesus said it out. You see, but because he doesn't know Jesus, he can't have understanding. And that's why, for example, I don't take bad dreams. If you give me a bad dream, even my wife, I don't take bad dreams for my wife. I only listen to the good dreams my wife has. So if she has a bad dream, she doesn't tell me. If she has a good dream, she tells me. You see, why don't I take bad dreams? If you have a bad dream now, I don't want you to tell me about any bad dream. You know why? The reason is because when bad dreams can come from God, and bad dreams can also come from Satan, but good dreams only come from God. So if you have a good dream, I don't have to find out whether it's God speaking to you or Satan. I'm sure that it is God. Satan will not tell you that he saw me seated on the throne, or Satan will not show you that kind of dream. But if it's a bad dream, it can either come from Satan or God. I don't want to put myself in that place where I need to find out where your dream is coming from. So give me the ones that I'm sure comes from God. So I tell my wife says she has a dream. I say, good or bad? She say, I already know. Now if it's bad, I will even tell you I had a dream. So if it's bad, she goes and pray about it. Good. Or if you have good dream, tell me. If you have bad dream, tell God. So I don't take bad dreams. Yeah. I don't take bad dreams. For me to take a bad dream from you, you must have proven yourself to be an established prophet. I must have seen your CV that you know how to manage. And so, but generally speaking, you know, because I've been in leadership for a while and I see that most people have bad dreams. I'm tired. I've been there and said, you know, sir, I saw that a trailer of this thing came. I said, some people, I remember back then when I was in university, some people would write bad revelation, full cap sheet like 25, and put it under my door, you know. They would receive revelation because I was the leader of all the churches. I was a joint campus president. So I was the leader of all the churches on campus. So they say, you know, that something, a spirit has taken over the university, that we have to do some kind of cleansing, that we have to... So I say, if you have bad dream, hey God, if you have good dream, then you tell me. So it's my past. There's no theology for it. It's just my way of being, keeping my sanity. There's no theology. I don't have any verse for you. So you can as well receive bad dreams as your own personal... Because some people, whenever God is in a place, he's always angry. He met Sos prophet during prayer meeting, and his mother said, "The Lord, my God, I am here. My people have seen. My people..." I'm tired of all those drama. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So, what took me there? I don't even know. Huh? Revelations. All right. Are we together here?
Yes,
so you need to know Jesus for you to know things. You get the point now. So that's why Satan misses it many times. Wow. Satan misses it many times. And over your life, Satan is missing it big.
Yes.
Do you know that Satan does a lot of trial and error?
Yes.
He's not specific. He's not exact. Over your life. And sometimes he will do something that God even set him up to do. Are you with me? God was thinking of how to get Pharaoh to Egypt. He needed Satan to get it done for him. All the trials of Joseph was God allowing it. You understand? You see? So that Joseph can get to Egypt. So Satan is not so brilliant. You get my point now? He's cunny. He's a liar. But he's not so brilliant. And some of you give him too much too much credit. Are you with me? I remember a few years ago, there's a saying I usually say that there are some churches where Satan goes to their prayer meeting to find out the new things he can do. You see, because their prayer point, Satan was never thinking about the thing they thought Satan wanted to do. Say every this thing, doing this, say, I can do that again. Okay. Satan goes to learn what to do. He just goes with his demons and say, what can we do? Say, all the glory. He didn't say, so there's a glory there. I never knew there's a glory there. And then he goes for it. And your dream space can never be better than your theology. You dream your understanding. So you have to change your understanding and then your dreams will change. You get it? You can't watch Labyrinth all the days of your life and expect to see the things that are in heaven. You see the things underneath heaven. Praise God, friends. Are we together here? So as you grow in the knowledge of God, you begin to have understanding. Amen. Begin to have what?
Understanding.
And then you begin to know that the enemy is not as powerful. Listen, friends. Satan won't tell you he wants to do what he could have done. You see, he's too fast. That if he can do it, he will do it immediately. You see? But sometimes he gives you a dream so that you can expect it. And so that you can empower him. Sometimes a dream is Satan seeking your permission. I told you about just a few months after I got saved, I had a dream. And Satan himself appeared to me in my dream. You know? Which is just manipulation. So it's not him. He just behaved like him. One of his demons acted like him. I said that because I just got filled with the Holy Ghost. And he said, when you are praying in tongues, why are you always speaking against our kingdom? He said, because you have done this. He said, when you got born again, I left you. Didn't I leave you? So why are you troubling my kingdom? He said, because of this, you are going to die in 7 days. Why, if you can kill me, why did you make me wake up? It's not like American film where somebody should just shoot. You still be talking. Someone that has troubled your whole family, troubled, killed many people. You now had the opportunity to be with him with a gun. And you know the guy can fight. And I said, today, I'm going to kill you. I said, just shoot this guy now. Oh, so this. Sometimes the guy will now tell you, fight like a man. And I drop the gun. And I start fighting. It's not even Hollywood. This is Hollywood. Hollywood can be so annoying. Now he said, why? Because he wanted me, he was asking for my permission. And I give him permission through fear. So, asking for my permission, then I begin to act and go from one prayer to another prayer mountain. Then he knows he has gotten my attention. I preached a message many years ago. I said, you lost because you fought. Satan sometimes would invite you to a battle that doesn't exist. And if you fight for a battle that doesn't exist, you are losing. Even if you are winning in that battle. Because you are spending money and energy on a battle that should not even... who was and who is to come. Other places you see who was, who is, and who is to come. I beg you and I tell you the truth and I'm not lying to you. There's no difference. Don't look for unnecessary revelation. I said, the reason they put is before was. Don't stress, please. You see, you must read the Bible. Don't read it as God is hiding something from you. They wrote it because God wants you to know what's there. They didn't write it because they are hiding something. If they are hiding something, they will not write. So it's an open book. Are you with me? Now, the Spirit, what the Spirit brings is that he enforces the revelation. But it's not like there's something lost. And say, okay, it's not like riddled. It's Bible, you know, like, okay, it's worse. No, it's just like that. You'll be shocked that the writer just interchanged the thing. And I need to tell you this because we all have this tendency of looking for what is not lost. And from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us, this is where I'm going to, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Go back to that scripture. To him who loved us. Somebody say, I'm loved. And say, I've been washed. Say, in his blood. And the implication of this is this. Verse 6 says that, and has made us. So, based on his love and based on that washing, he has now made us what?
Kings
and what? And priests. Are you with me? To God and Father. Are you with me? So you see that your salvation experience has brought you into a realm of kingship. Because you are born again, you are a king. You see, because your father is king of kings, and he's king of kings because you are a king. That's why if you are not a king, he will not be king of kings. Are you together with me? He's not the king of Ife land. He's not the king of Oni of Ife. That's not the meaning of king of kings. By king of kings, he's talking about you. Are you together with me? So salvation has made you a king. And that's what I want to look at that. And you need to see yourself that way as a king. Now, if you're not saved, you're not a king. But you see, if you're saved, you are a king. And it says you are a king to God and to the Father of Jesus, who is God. You are his king. So when God looks at you, he sees his king. Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
When God looks at you, what does he see?
King.
He sees his king. And he's intending to manifest himself through you. He's going to rule the nations with a rod of iron, but you see, you are the one that will help him execute that. Now you are not a king to me. You see, in the New Testament, your kingship doesn't give you the right to rule over people.
Yes, sir.
Are you together here? You don't rule over people. We don't lord over people. That's not what it means that you are a king. And Jesus told us that in the world, that's how leadership and rulership is. But in the kingdom, it is not so. Are you with me? So I don't rule over you. I don't lord it over you. Whether I'm your brother, whether I'm your pastor. You get the point now? I don't rule it. I don't rule over you. Now, I can give you instructions. Are you together with me? I should give you instruction as an oversight, as a pastor. But I don't rule over you. Glory be to God.
Amen.
But you see, you are God's king. And what does that mean? Two things. It means that God has sent you here upon the face of the earth to execute his will. Are you together with me? To execute his will. Execute his plans and his purposes. The kingship of the kingdom has nothing to do with ruling people. We serve people and we deploy grace. It is your ability to deploy grace to the point where our works must look like it is God that did it. You see, when you walk, it must look like it is God walking. That's what it means to be a king. The mastery of grace and the deployment of grace. Somebody said the mastery of grace. And said the deployment of grace. Lift up your right hand a little bit and say that I am a king.
I am a king.
I master grace.
And I deploy grace.
Say, I master grace and I deploy grace. Shout to say, I master grace and I deploy grace. One more time, say, I master grace and I deploy grace. One more time, say, I master grace and I deploy grace. Say, I master grace and I deploy grace. I can't hear you. Say, I master grace and I deploy grace. Shout it. Say, I master grace and I deploy grace. It's different from saying it one time, right? So you are God's king. It means that there must be a beauty with which and by which you do life. There must be beauty. We must trace your actions to the power of God. We must trace your activity to the power of God. We must trace how you do life to the power of God. And friends, you should never give up or stop if what you are doing, people are not linking it to God. You know, the Bible says that our good works must show so much that men should give glory to God. It means that you must push life to the point where people say, wow, God is powerful. Now, until you are living life at that level, you have to keep trying. You don't take any applause. Can I link your activity to God is good? Can I link your activity to God is powerful? Is there anything you are doing that people see and they say, God? And so one guy looked at just one day and says, good master. And just said, are you sure? Because according to the law, no one is good but God. Yes. So you must, are you saying I'm God now? Wow. That was what it meant. It said, good master. They don't call themselves good. And they call, just say, are you guys now agreeing? And so our works. So next time you are doing something as simple as cleaning a toilet, find out if this is how, if God were to clean toilet, will it look like this? And next time you are really sending out that next design, and find out that if God were to do this design, you see, don't do anything that when you present, we don't find God in it. Now, how many of you, when you hear me preach, your sorrow disappears and your guilt and shame disappears? If that's your story, raise up your hand. Is that not what happens when God talks to you also? So it means that what I'm doing looks like it's God doing it. We have to push until our productivity can go through God's standard and not fail. And guess what? God says that, the Bible says that there's a particular day that every man's work will be tested with fire. And if it's not like God, it's just going to burn and going to be destroyed. Now, this is the holy pressure, allow me to use that word, that you need to place on yourself. You see, and it's okay to put this pressure on yourself because God has put the Holy Spirit inside you. And the Holy Spirit is the powerhouse of God. So you have the capacity to produce like God. Yes, sir. If God was a wife, is this how God will be a wife? Is this the kind of wife God will be? And is this the kind of husband God will be? If the answer is no, then keep trying. Yes, sir. Are we together here? Yes, keep trying. Praise the name of the Lord. And so we have been made kings. And the Bible says it's for God. It's for the Father. So God is looking out on how you will be like him and act like him. Now, if you begin to think like this, you would go above the borders of trying to survive. You get the point now, trying to survive. Listen, there is no place you are in life that there is no room for God to show. Sometimes we think God will show when your situation changes. That God, if you promote me, then men will see your glory. No. The glory of God can be seen in that place that you are. It's not promotion that shows his glory. It's not until you are the MD that, oh, see the glory of God, I'm not MD. No, 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 no. The glory of God can show when you are MD, and the glory of God will show when you are the clerk. Abi? When you are the person in charge of cleaning the floor, the glory can show. So the you don't need a promotion for the glory. I say, oh Lord, I go there. The world is waiting for your glory. Take, lift me up so that the world can see you. No. Right where you are, the world can see his glory. And if the world cannot see his glory where you are, if God promotes you, God has no glory still. You see, because the glory is not in the promotion. The glory is inside you. Christ in you is the hope of glory, not promotion letter. It's not promotion letter that shows the glory. The glory is right inside you, and it's time to make it show. Am I talking here? If you are listening to me, shout a big hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
Are you together with me? Is the glory of God showing in your dressing? Are you fine? Are you fine in the eye of God? Is it showing your dressing or the glory of Satan? You know, nudity now looks like the new cool. And believers now dress nude. I'm shocked. Tongue-talking believers. Some of you in this church. I'm not talking about people outside this church. You dress like an enemy. You dress like an enemy of the faith. Like an enemy. You have been tutored by the spirit of this world. You are trained by them. And on your bio is God lover. God lover, but your breasts are out. How? How can you be God lover and your breast is out and everything is out and you are looking like you don't love him? Angry? Are we together, friend? So you have the calling of a king is upon your life, and you must continue until this just looks like God. You know, we want to build a community that looks like God.
Yes.
You know, we want to build a community that God can delay on his coming and say, okay, there's a type of kingdom already happening on the earth. It's already looking like the kingdom. Do you know we're meant to build a kingdom that the world will have? The reason why there's no persecution is that we haven't created a kingdom that, you see, we are still mixed with the world. Persecution will break out by the time we are able to solve all our problems by the spirit and the wisdom of Christ. Can we run a church that poverty has no place? That's my plan. Where poverty has no place. Like nobody is under the grip of poverty. Both poverty of the mind and practical poverty. Online poverty and on-site poverty. You know, the guy who hasn't eaten for many days will fight you when you tell him poverty is a thing of the mind. So, it's not my mind that is hungry, man. Friends, I have that dream. Friends, I have that dream. That we build a community that poverty has no place. Like the demon of poverty doesn't even near here. And it just stays far. It says, man, don't go to Jodubega, man. That place, they won't welcome you. Both poverty of the mind and poverty on ground. None is on ground. It's possible.
Yes, sir.
And it's not to focus on poverty, it's to focus on love.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't do it by focusing on poverty alleviation. We focus on love. When love grows, poverty can stay.
Yeah.
The reason for poverty is the presence of self.
Yeah.
When self is too much, poverty will multiply. Yeah. You have to love yourself for there to be poverty in your domain.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you see poverty, somebody loves himself. It's self-love that bears poverty. You see, because when you love yourself, you gather everything for yourself until you destroy yourself. But when you love others, then you distribute. Yeah. There would have been a poverty of sonship if God was only loving himself. But the Bible says, for God so loved the world. And so because he loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. The son was for him alone, but love made him release him. And that's why there's prosperity of sonship now. And now we now have millions of sons of God. Because one man or one God called God decided to love humanity and release his son. Now if it was you, you would keep that son. I said, I can't lose him. He's only one. Because his only begotten son. You know, sometimes your justification for not releasing something is that it's only one you have. And you feel justified. Say, my only shoe. You know, sometimes you feel justified that you can give out, but when it's now only, you feel the whole world you understand that only does not hold. Now, the only one why I get me that now. You know, it's a justifiable reason not to release. And that's why it remains as only.
Yes.
Yes, sir. It's released things that multiply. Am I troubling you?
Yes.
You couldn't even pretend. Oh my goodness. Are we here, friends?
Yes, sir.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Do you love Jesus?
Yes.
All right, give him 1 second praise. Come on, let's give him praise. God is good. He's made you his king. Now people might not recognize you as king, but God recognizes you as a king. God recognizes you as a king. So that's my king. When anybody says, who's that person? God says, that's my king. That's my king. And I paid for, you see, because you see, for when you read the story of any kingdom, there's always the, before a kingdom can be established, there's always sacrifice. Yeah. And that's why warfare is part of how territories are divided. Go and check the history of any territory. Warfare had happened. For when you see a kingdom, blood has been spilled. When you see any kingdom, what? Blood has been spilled. And if you see any kingdom standing, it's because also blood has been spilled. We use our blood to either get a kingdom or retain a kingdom. And that's why that scripture we read, before he spoke about how he made us kings and priests, he said that we have been washed by his blood. So Jesus spilled his blood for us to have a kingdom. Are you together with me? The Bible talks about we've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness. Colossians chapter 1. Is it 12 or 13 now? And it says that he has delivered from the kingdom of darkness and translated us. But that thing that happened, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Don't forget, it was the same thing we read in the book of Revelation chapter 1. He spoke about he loved us, and what did he do? He washed us in his blood. Are you together with me? Now, for us to have this kingdom that we are kings in, are you together with me? The sacrifice of blood was paid. Praise God. The sacrifice of blood was paid. You see, Adam, when the sacrifice of blood was paid, while the sacrifice of blood was paid, then we have a kingdom. And so it's the blood of Jesus. So it's not, I'm not exciting you by calling you a king. Blood has gone for it. We can't afford to waste this blood. Jesus spilled his blood to make you a king. I'm a king. I said, I'm a king. I'm not a beggar. I'm not an addict. I'm not trying to live by. I'm not trying to survive. I'm a king. I came here to rule. I came here to deploy grace. I came here to deploy grace. There is grace to be deployed. I will master grace and deploy grace. Because blood was shed for me to be where I am. And I'm not going to waste it. Are you with me? It took the blood of Jesus. It took the blood of Jesus to get you here. You see, and sometimes a lot of you have not learned to start your life. You see, you start your life pre-blood. A lot of you still think pre-blood. You think of when your father gave birth to you, the challenges of your parents. That's how you still perceive yourself. But can you perceive yourself from the blood and post-blood? That the game changed. By the blood, the game changed. And so you are no more a reflection of your biological family. Now you are a reflection of what the blood can do. And in the blood of a thing is life. So right now the life of God flows in you. Amen. And so you should have the context of a king. Are we together here? Praise God. And so don't remember your date of birth, your local government, your country. So you must have the complex of a what? Of a king. Because of the blood of Jesus. So the first thing that I've been speaking about is that you must have a revelation of the blood. What the blood has done for us. So the blood is that place. Are you with me? One, by the blood, your sins were washed away. Your sins were washed away. Meaning that in life, you are not living life getting what you deserve from your actions or maybe your parents' actions. So it means that if the trajectory of my father's house assures me poverty, now, by the blood, I won't experience that poverty. Yes. Are you together with me? Yes. So it means it's okay if things don't add up. They don't have to.
Yes.
And it's okay if I don't have an advantage in the flesh. Yes. I don't need it. Yes. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Because even anything I call advantage in the flesh is mockery to the provision of the blood. Yes. So I don't need that. Am I preaching here?
Yes,
oh my goodness. So it means that you can lead a life that has no reference point to where you are coming from in the flesh. You see, the apostle writing put it this way, it's more accurate. He said, because you are now in Christ, he said, right now, we know no man after the flesh. That is to say, you cannot accurately do some kind of mathematics or analyze a kind of graph and check where a man was born and then predict how a man will end. He says, when Christ comes into the scene, the history of the flesh becomes irrelevant because a new history has started.
Yes.
Am I preaching here?
Yes.
Listen, will you love it if I tell you that in the blood, a new history has started?
Yes.
Now, not just that you have a glorious future, a new history has started.
Yes.
That you don't even have to start from your father's house anymore. You can as well start from resurrection. You can start from resurrection. That even if you have blood issues from your father's side, by this revelation, your blood can be changed because you can choose to start life from resurrection. That's why the Bible says that by his stripes, we are healed. Because he not only changed our future, he changed our history. Our past has been dealt with. And in Jesus, we can boast of a new past. You see, because sometimes we lack confidence to talk about the future because we're held bound by the torment of the past. And so Jesus did not only give you a great future, he dealt with your past. And now you have a brand new past. And that's by the blood. And so the blood says, I've washed your sin. Now listen, when the Bible says that your sins have been washed by the blood, let me tell you the implication of that. And let me ask you this. Now, the sin that was washed here, it's not Adam's sin was washed by the blood, right?
Yes.
Now, the question is, if the blood was potent enough to wash Adam's sin, then how difficult would it be for the blood to wash your father's sin? Or to wash your grandfather's sin? Because some people say that the curse is generational curse. The first man, the first generation, the blood dealt with his sin. Then my grandfather's sin is not, is, oh my goodness. I wish I was preaching somewhere else. A new trajectory. A new history. In Christ Jesus, I have a new history. And the way my life is going, it has no resemblance to where I'm coming from. Absolutely. I like that word. Can you say absolutely?
Absolutely.
No resemblance. Listen, I'm communicating into your spirit the details of your greatness. So, by the blood, there is exchange. One, the blood found for us a kingdom. Now, by the blood, we now are part of God's kingdom. So, what happened was that the kingdom had already been in existence, but God was going to establish the kingdom on the earth. Are you with me? And then the blood was what was used. Powerful blood. Powerful blood. Now, the blood was shed not because he was defeated, but the blood was shed as sacrifice for your own sin. It was not like Satan fought him and Satan now took his blood. No, no, no. The blood was shed for sacrifice for your sin. But not only that, it also became the vehicle to introduce you into divine life. Yeah. Are you with me, friends? Yes, somebody shout the blood of Jesus.
Blood of Jesus.
Exchange for kingdom life, sacrifice for sin, and also the giving of life. Amen.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Now, the second thing that we'll look at when we talk about kingship, I have just like 15 minutes left, and let's hope I can do this, is that you have, you know, I think it was sang, Bisola singing it today. You have grace. You have grace. You have what?
Grace.
Grace. You have grace. Grace is natural to you. In fact, you started on the template of grace. The Bible says that we have been saved by grace. Now, faith obtained it, but grace did it.
Yes.
You have been saved by grace through faith. What's grace? Grace is the power of God. It's the ability of God. You have been saved by what? By grace. So you see, you are an embodiment of grace. The power of God flows through you. Now, the power of God flows through you and is in you at salvation. And it's still flowing into you, it's still flowing in you for execution of divine life.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Oh my goodness. So it means that you are going to do spectacular things, but it will be very easy for you.
Yes.
Can I announce you get set to do great things easily?
Yes.
Did you receive that?
Yes.
I speak to you, get set to do great things easily.
Amen.
Listen, the curse, this is the curse, that your work, you will toil before you get anything. That's the curse. But grace is this, that it won't be much of your work. You will work, but another force will step into your work. And then the produce will be gigantic.
Yeah.
I welcome you to doing great things easily.
Yeah.
I welcome you to doing great things easily.
Yeah.
That is the story of your life.
Yes.
And listen, that is your portion in this house.
Yeah.
Is the order of this church.
Yes.
You are going to do great things easily.
Yes.
Listen, you are going to churn out very great ideas, and people will think that it took you a lot of 1 million years of brainstorming, but they won't know is when you went to play football that you got the idea that is bringing revolution to your industry. And they're like, how did you do it? Tell us. And you really can't fix the details because is easy for you. Oh my goodness. What if I told you that life will be easy for you? Easy for you. Easy for you. Life will be easy for you. You know what God is telling me? God needs to do a work in your soul. Whereby, because a lot of you equate greatness to labor. Greatness is the fruit of grace. Greatness is the fruit of grace. Listen, if you meet people who are truly great and you interview them, you will think they are hiding secrets from you. Because when they tell you how they got it, they're like, I just met this guy. Sir, tell me now. Because our mind, we think that something difficult happened. No. Greatness is the fruit of grace. And that is your portion. Have your seat. Talking grace. Oh my goodness. Mara Dujabaya. So grace is the power of God. Let me talk about different levels of grace. One of the first levels of grace is the grace that comes through understanding. Understanding, natural understanding. There is power in skill. In understanding skill, natural skill. There is power in it. There is grace. Now, have you loved a musician before? Have you like, man, I love this guy. Now let me ask you, is he kind? You don't know. Is he gentle? You don't know. Do you know? You don't know anything about the person, but you love the person. Like, that guy is good. That girl is a good person. You don't know anything about it. What did you meet? Grace. And because of the skill of singing, you are releasing favor to that person. So there is grace in skill. The Bible talks about how the gift of a man will make room for him. Are you with me? Praise God. There is gift, there is grace and skill. So it is okay and it's important for you to always learn and grow in the skill that God, that you feel inspired to pursue. You have to be good. You can't say you are called to be a musician and you are always going off key. And say the grace of God will cover it. Grace does not cover bad things. It does not. But you get my point. Say the grace will cover it. Like me, it's not about my voice. It's the presence. The voice might be bad, but when the presence hits that voice, you will not. Don't do that. There is grace in skill. Because you see, can I talk to you? Because your skill was given you by God. See, because we have an assumption that God only gives spiritual abilities. He also is the giver of natural abilities. So your natural ability was given to you by God. And sometimes some people will not see God until you work your natural ability. Are you with me, friend? So you have to work it. And you work it by learning. You have to learn. Are we together here? So there is grace that comes via your skill. Are you with me? Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It could be science, it could be art, it could be an invention that God put in your spirit, but you just have to learn. There's grace. Also, there is grace in virtues, character. There's grace in virtue. There is grace in what?
Virtue.
There is grace in virtue. That sometimes because the reward for grace is favor. Whenever you carry grace, you would also be favored. That's why grace and favor go hand in hand. Are you with me?
Yes.
And these are the things you know. You see, when you talk about money, big man, this is it. It's grace, favor. Virtue, character. There is grace in being Christ-like. Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
There's grace in being what? In being Christ-like. But the more Christ-like you are, the more grace will be flowing in your life. And then the more kingship you can deploy. Because I told you, kingship is mastery of grace and the deployment of grace. Character. So you have to grow virtue. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
The Bible says, add to your faith virtue, character. Deal with issues of greed and all this kind of bad character that the Holy Spirit will be, you know, will be bringing to you and giving you the ability to throw away so that you can... Have you met people who are gifted, but you don't want to relate with them because they have bad attitude?
Yeah.
Have you met such people?
Yeah.
Bad attitude. And then you can let them go because they cause you more trouble.
Yeah.
Are you with me, friends?
Yes, sir.
There's also grace in wisdom. Wisdom. And I've told you, I've done a series on wisdom, and I told you that wisdom comes via what? Instruction. Knowledge comes through learning. Wisdom comes through instruction. Why? Because wisdom always work. And then for you to always emphasize on wisdom always work. And then for you to always work, it means that for you to have what always work, it means it must have been used before. And so you need to learn to engage with those who have used it before. So that they will just tell you what to do. So wisdom is not sharp brain. That's not wisdom. Wisdom is when you know what to do. If I say, go get me my car keys. Go get my car key. And then say, how can I get past that car key? Where did he come? When he came, what was the first place he went to? I'll check that place first. You're just trying to use smartness. If I tell somebody, my car key is in my studio, on the table, you pick it, that's where I put it. Now that person has wisdom. Because I've told him exactly what to do. I know that might not be what you understand as wisdom. But you see, the book of Proverbs is book of wisdom. And what is contained there is what to do. You see, then of course the last way grace comes is impartation. Impartation, which is a transfer of ability from the greater to the lesser. Impartation. Impartation. Are we here?
Yes, sir.
Impartation. You know, I was teaching about the parable of the talent yesterday. I said one did from five, turned it to five, two turned it to two, and then the one who was giving one went to hide it. Then when he was bringing their reward, he says, you have five. He says, okay, I'm going to do this for you. And he says, enter into the joy of your Lord. That's impartation. That's the spirit of the Lord. Are you together with me? That's impartation. Are we here, friends? Shout a big hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
Don't miss me. I have 10 more minutes. Don't lose me. Impartation. You see, oh my, I don't really know how to say this. But when, see, I've said it before, but let me say it again. If I'm able to do so much, and you get close to me, and I give you the wisdom of how to do it, when you get all the wisdom, you can go far enough. But you see, there's one last thing that makes me do what I can do. And that last thing is called me. If I teach you all the how, the last how is who I am. How will you be me now? You see, there is a grace on person. And that's what helps you flow in the fullness of that person. It's who I am. You see, if Basket Man teaches you how to be a comedian and tells you all, but there's one last one called Basket Man himself. That's one, there's no way he can teach you that one. If a guitarist, a person teaches you all the skills and you go and rehearse all your life, but there's him. There's a way. If you repeat this, my sermon. If you repeat the sermon, word for word, and do all the drama, you are still not me. There's one advert, old advert, say, if you know, there's who I am. That one, how can I teach you who I am? That's the last one people really collect. That was the one Elisha collected. The sons of the prophet collected other things, but they couldn't collect Elijah. That's the last one. So impartation is who the person is, how. You see, if you have done it rightly, if that thing comes upon you, you won't even know when it came upon you. You're just like, it's already operational in my life. You see, the first thing I taught you was the blood. The way to step into kingship via the blood is revelation. The way to step through kingship via grace is humility. So with revelation, you access the kingship that the blood provides. With humility, you access the kingship that grace provides. Praise God. You need grace. And then for you to have grace, you need what? Humility. That's the key for grace. The Bible says that he gives grace to the humble. That's the basic general key for grace. And humility is naked. You can't be humble and only you know. If your humility is known to you, say, hey, and I'm humble, if you don't get this thing, I'm humble. If you need to teach on your humility, and we need to search it out, and you are not humble. You see, humility is embarrassing. His humility is low. It's very obvious. Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
Humility. And then you need humility to flow as the king that God is. You need humility. Amen. You know, when they introduced him, is it Revelations 4, Revelations 5? As the lion of the tribe of Judah. But you see, the software that made him the lion was that he was the lamb that was slain. That's the spirit of the lion. Are you together with me? The software of the lion is the lamb. You need humility. You know, there is nothing in life you would enjoy that God gives you without humility. Do you know, for example, your home, you can't enjoy your marriage if you're not humble. To enjoy your marriage, you need to be humble. You cannot enjoy marriage. As people have marriages, the marriage will be hard for you. It won't work. You will try to work it. The gifts of God are worked by humility. For it to work, you have to introduce humility. Humility is the salt of God's kingdom. It brings everything together. Do you know without humility, this church will struggle? Are you together with me? As beautiful as this church is, what you need is pride to just step in. Yeah, pride. If only pride steps in, it won't work. It will be tough. Pastor Bu will say, why is he always preaching? Why is he preaching? What is he saying? Let them try me. Then I will say, I've always wanted to tell you, but I just said I should not tell you. You know the way you used to do gentle. But now that you two, you are seeing it. And then Adesola will tell me, I said, that pastor idea, I saw the way she used to do. Whenever you are preaching, there's a way she does. Then crisis will start. Because pride has, and then the gifts of God will not flow. Yeah. This choir that is looking sweet is just pride. The pride enters their midst. I say, why is this one always leading? Is that how to sing? She cannot even pronounce S or pronounce T. So as a worship leader, your diction has to be correct. You need humility. Friends, you need you see, friends, embrace humility. I beg you. You have speed in life. Friend, I beg you with everything I have inside me, embrace humility. You see, don't be angry when you are made the last. Don't be grateful. When you are called to do the meanest work, you are the most blessed. When people have the guts to do the lowest work, it's because you are the most blessed amongst everyone. Please embrace. I beg you in the name of God. I don't even know how to preach it. I don't want to preach it. Just receive it. Be humble. And humility is tested in service. That's where it's tested, in service. Be humble. You will see yourself more. The grace of God will be flowing like water. You understand? Quickly make people greater than you. Don't delay. In fact, who is greater? Don't delay. Quickly surrender. I said, can't you see you are greater than me? Can't you? See, everybody, don't this boy know he's greater than me? Quickly surrender to people. Quickly. Don't wait, say, who will greet me? As you are holding that your ground, you are being cut off from grace. That means you have to operate by that power. That will be the power you will operate by. The power you use to hold your ground, that's your anointing. And that one cannot break yoke. Listen, nobody can disrespect you out of the anointing. They will disrespect you into it. You can't disrespect me to the point where I will not be anointed. You can only disrespect me into my anointing. So stop being afraid of being ridiculed. That you can be ridiculed, you are a candidate of oil. So if you are holding your ground, that's your power. That's the power with which you will do life with. And that's what you will use to do ministry. Trust God enough. And when they want to push you this way, know that you are landing in power.
Yes.
Push me this way. I land in power.
Yes. Amen.
I land in power. Listen, and when your power comes, the person that push you will still kneel down and beg you. You see? But when the person that's trying to push you, when you fight, that will be the level both of you will keep engaging. But when you fall down and the Lord now raises you. You see, when God raises a man, everybody will know. Ooh, when God raises a man, you won't doubt. He says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And what will he do? He will lift you up. Humble yourself under the... When you humble yourself, when God lifts you up, it's clear. Friends, it's clear. Give them time to ridicule you, but God will lift you up. And be careful those you are ridiculing. You will soon not be their mate. They will not be your mate very soon. Just be careful. Fear the person that allows you to ridicule him. Because by the time the story will change. Because God is committed to lifting the humble. And the proud, it remains the same. It keeps going down. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. The Lord will lift you up. Humility. A lot of you, one of the things you haven't learned is humility. A lot of you. You are very strong, fighting for yourself. Don't want anybody to take you for granted. And that's the power with which you are engaging. No power is flowing. And that's why when your humility is a mystery, when people don't know you are humble, but you are the one explaining that, inside me I'm humble. You see, if you judge me the way I'm looking, I might look like I'm strong. But no. Humility, we see it immediately. You make yourself the least. So my question is, why I'm shocked that you are not the least? So when I see some of you, I'm asking, why are you not in your subunit? Why are you not the least? Why? Why are you not the least? What's wrong with you? We should all be fighting to be the least. We should all be fighting. All of us should be fighting to be what? The least. Everybody should be struggling. The battle will be, this one goes down. This one says, lie. This one goes out. This one dig the ground and enters inside. We should be fighting for being the least. Friends, I battle to be the least. It's a battle. I battle, and it's known in service. Anywhere you see me serve, I serve as the least. Anywhere you see me serve, I serve as the least. If I'm ever going to go to anywhere late, I send a text and apologize. And when you see me late, I don't behave like I'm early. I never behave like I'm early. Whenever I see me go to prophetic team, I hate to be outside this thing. I hate it. I don't. I rush in. I don't want to be outside this. Hey, you are not the least. You are now a big man. You are now a big man of God. Because when you first got saved, you don't gist outside. When you got saved, you don't gist outside. I don't miss worship. I don't miss worship. Because when I got saved, I don't used to miss worship. Why did I start missing it? How did I grow? What did I grow into? So after the worship, I'll now come as the one everybody has been waiting for. The man of God has arrived. I'll now ask you, how was the worship? I rush. See, so what can be done? When they are asking, who will do it? I'll say, I will do it. I will do it. You don't have to look for anybody. It's me. It's me. You have to go down. To be a king, you go down. Go down. Guys, are you listening to me? Go down. Be a child. Go down so that he can put oil on you. What you need for life is oil. You don't need to win arguments. You need oil. You don't need to be right. You need oil. Are my friends here? So that's how you learn. You, some of you have apprentices that you know will never learn. They have abilities, but you know they will learn. This guy is meant to be the best. But the way he is, he knows too much. He can't learn. You know he won't. We can tell who will not be great. See, we can always tell. Not because they don't have capacity. But you see the heart. You say, this one is too big. This one is a big boy. This one should have, God did mistake. I should be the apprentice of this one. This one is bigger than me. We all can tell. Gifted, but we all can tell. This one is big. My friends, are you here?
Yes, sir.
We need to go down. Keep going down. And never forget, finally, that all this is I'm preaching is your ordination. You were ordained for it. You are not begging for it. You were ordained for great things. So next time you feel like doing something more than you are feeling right. Are you with me? Next time you feel like doing something that your mother or your father cannot understand, you are feeling right. Next time you feel like just manifesting in a way that is beyond human comprehension, you are feeling right. Because you were made for such a time as this. One girl, small girl, her name was Esther. She entered into the palace through beauty pageant. And Mordecai one day told her that you are here for such a time as this. And I said, Mordecai, you are right. That it took a beautiful girl to save Israel from perishing. Are you together with me? Why? Ordination. What? Ordination. True beauty pageant, which is a natural gift. And submission to Mordecai. Humility. This girl is queen. Mordecai is just an ordinary servant. But she kept on submitting to that man. And it was a submission to that man that helped her save Israel. Are you together with me? Humility. She engaged humility. And then she engaged understanding our ordination. And the girl said, if I perish, I perish. Are you together with me? The kings live for purpose. Kings, you see, kings don't live for the throne.
Yeah.
This king that I'm talking about, your place is not throne. It's not a big thing you will sit and say, I'm a king. No. Your throne is your purpose.
Yeah.
It is your purpose. And sometimes, can I preach here?
Yes,
sometimes you don't even mind losing your physical throne for the manifestation of purpose.
Yes.
Because we don't live for ourselves. Listen, Jesus Christ left heaven and came to the earth and became a man and died on the cross. That's kingship. He was willing to let go of what made him God so that he can execute his purpose. Just like Esther, if I perish, I perish. One way I know that you have found your destiny is that you can sacrifice even the things that make you who you are for the fulfillment of destiny. And destiny is always never about you. It's always about somebody else. It's always about others. When you are able to let go of your comfort, to let go of your convenience, so that God can bless humanity, then I know you have found something. But when you are still trying to preserve your throne, you have found nothing. But when you have found something, you can let go of everything. So sometimes I look at the strength of a man. I understand the strength of a man's purpose by understanding, by seeing what he can sacrifice. In what you can sacrifice, I understand your purpose. When I see your sacrifice is little, I know you haven't seen destiny. But when you truly see destiny, nothing is too big for sacrifice. Let's pray. Heavenly Lord, your name is wonderful. Your name is excellent. Your name is beautiful.
I worship you, Lord, for you are mighty. You got the whole world in your
hands.
Your name is excellent. Your name is beautiful.
explain to you. In the end, your greatness and your kingship is worship to God. God is expecting us to bring spoils to Him. And so because He's great, we are going to go back home in the end, in the last day, and say, Father, this was how we deployed grace. This is what we have brought home. Bible says, unto the kingdom of this world, become the kingdom of our God and His Christ. And you're going to come back and say, Father, this was the family I brought to you. This is the industry I brought to you. Oh God, this is the business I brought to you. We made profit by your spirit. And lives were changed and people were transformed. You see, the second thing is that the old world is the Lord's. And there's a portion that is your own. Because you are His king. And so you don't lack grace. You don't lack oil. You are going to fulfill all that you have been called to fulfill. And so when we sing this song, we are just giving God all the glory and all the honor. And you are saying, this is my life. Everything I will do to it, I'm going to bring it to God and say, Father, this is for you.